Welcome to the Advance Your Art podcast, where we talk about the journey from artist to entrepreneur and everything in between. You've worked hard to hone your craft. Now take it to the next level with tips, techniques, strategies, and routines used by successful artists to grow their businesses and careers. Now, let's get started and have some fun with your host, Yuri Cataldo.
Welcome to the show, Matt. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I want to thank you again for taking time out of your schedule to chat with me today.
Of course. Of course.
Excellent. So I'd like to start off with by asking, when people ask you what you do, how do you answer that?
I tell them that I'm a videographer, photographer who also does a podcast to help people make money with their camera.
Nice. That's a lot of different things that you do. How do you have time for all of that?
Well, I started off with videography back in college and kind of developed that as my business. And recently with my company, we've added on some photography just to kind of increase revenue from that. And because I went to college with so many people who went to do this kind of stuff for their jobs, whether it be photography or video, they went to school for this to learn this skill. Then they graduated and they're delivering pizzas. So I wanted to start a podcast to help those kind of people who went to school for this stuff or have a passion for it and they want to make money with it, but they don't know how. So I started a podcast where I interview a lot of really successful photographers and videographers who share the tips of what drives their success.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And that's so much better than delivering pizza. I worked as a pizza delivery person when I was in college, Papa John's. Yeah, good way to make extra cash, but not really that exciting.
And not really a career move, I wouldn't think.
Not so much. And unfortunately, I crashed my car twice as a delivery person, so I think I lost more money than I made that winter. It didn't go out well. So I'd actually like to backtrack and talk about your college days. So what did you study when you were in college?
I went to school for graphic design. Unintentionally, I wanted to go to one of the film schools like Full Sail or the Art Institute or something, but just couldn't swing it financially.
Okay.
So I ended up going to Charleston Southern University, which is where my brother went. It's the main reason I went there, joined the same fraternity as him and everything. But I studied graphic design. So that's what I thought I was going to end up doing with my life.
Oh, wonderful. And what got you interested in graphic design?
In high school, I was doing video production stuff, and I kind of started that my senior year. And I wanted to do, like I said, I wanted to do video production, but I ended up going to Charleston Southern just because I could afford it.
Okay.
And they didn't have a video production major. The closest thing they had was graphic design. So I figured if I had studied graphic design and then on my own time taught myself video production, then it could only help. So that's what I did. Did internships for videographers and had mentors that were videographers, but I studied graphic design at college. So.
Okay. Well, great. So then when you finished your school and you graduated, what did you end up doing after that?
I launched my video production business. Technically, the end of my senior year is when I kind of got out there and really started putting it out. But I graduated from college. I was in an internship doing graphic design for a church in my area. And they had two other like full-time graphic designers on staff, and they hired me on as their graphic design coordinator. So I went from being an intern to being their boss. It was kind of a weird transition. But I did that for 3 months, and that's when I decided, you know, graphic design is just not for me. I don't like it. And honestly, I didn't like the position.
Okay.
I wanted to be in more of a position where I was doing the work. So I felt like I was doing a lot of delegating, but I was spending most of my time in meetings, and I just felt like I couldn't be productive in meetings. So it wasn't the right fit for me. So after about 3 months, I left there and started doing my video production full time. So,
So when you decided I guess let's start with this. What's your video production company called?
It's called Repeat Productions, and it's because my last name is Pete. It's P-E-E-T.
Oh, okay.
So it's re-hyphen my last name, Productions.
Okay. And is that what the website is too? Repeatproductions.com?
Yeah, you can go to repeatvideos.com, and it'll, whichever way you spell it, will redirect you to my main website.
Okay. And is there something particular that you specialize in or your main focus?
We do highlight videos. So we don't really do like the full blown out production, like commercials and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll go in and make videos that businesses can use to promote themselves. We went on the podcast cruise last year with all of those guys, and we put together a highlight of that entire week that they, so they can use that for promotion for any future cruises they want to do, that kind of stuff. We do a lot of weddings, being in Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a destination spot. So we do a lot of wedding highlights.
Okay.
So that's what brings us in most of our money, but we also enjoy doing all the conferences, podcast movement, Chili Peppers, stuff like that. So.
What, you say the Chili Peppers?
Not the Red Hot Chili Peppers. There's a conference. Yeah, everybody thinks that. But
sorry.
There's a conference in Tennessee every January that I've been shooting for probably the last 3 years now, 3 or 4 years. They just keep inviting me back to shoot it. It's a Christian concert that they bring a lot of the big name bands in and that kind of stuff. And it's a 3-day conference that I go and create a highlight for. So yeah.
Okay, great. When you started doing this in college, how did you make that transition of just being becoming a college student to then being a college student who had this company? And did you just run it out of your dorm room or your apartment, or tell me how that beginning process worked?
I gave up a lot of free time just to start it. Cause I mean, obviously if you're going to start something new, there's a lot of learning that has to go and be involved. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of inadvertently took all of my time away. So I lost a lot of free time, but I was running it out of my dorm room at the time. You know, I was building up the amount of gear and everything like that, that I needed to do what I wanted to do. But I found a guy named Michael Gebbin online. He was part of a community at that point when I found him, and he was kind of like my online mentor.
Okay.
I tell people the story. There was one point where I was doing a video for a guy. A guy contacted me. He was from a different area in South Carolina. I had to drive about an hour and a half to get to him. And since I was so new at video, I didn't know how to do any pricing or anything like that. He's like, hey, can you come out and shoot this video at my church that he was like planting up in Florence, South Carolina? I was like, okay, sure. Yeah. And he asked how much. I told him $150. And it's really, right? Really generous. Like, I see your face. And yeah. It's the same face I have when I tell people the story. It's, it hurts.
Well, but, it's okay. You didn't know any better. And
yeah. And I did it for him for $150 and felt horrible, not because I did a bad job, but because I just spent half a week of my life for $150. Mm-hmm. And at that point I was about to quit on video because I was like, I don't know how to make money with this, obviously. And that's when I found Michael Gebbin. He kind of, like I said, he was my coach for a while. He was my online mentor. Okay. He got me plugged in with another guy who I did an internship for. So it just kind of all snowballed from that point whenever I found him online.
Okay. So that's great. And were there books you were reading at the same time, or was it just pretty much working with Michael that really helped you kind of figure out the nuts and bolts of what you were doing?
At that time, I wasn't much of a reader, unfortunately.
Okay.
I was the kind of person who made fun of reading, unfortunately, at that point. It changed shortly after that because, like I said, I met Michael. He kind of gave me the inspiration and some tips and advice and kind of got my inspiration back for video. And then he got me plugged in with a guy named Brent Thacker, who runs a company called Film Anywhere Productions.
Okay.
Yeah, and I interned for him because he's based out of Charleston, South Carolina as well. I interned for him, and he got me to read this book called How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've heard of that one, but that one, I love that book. Definitely a winner.
It is. It's actually, there it is. It's Dale Carnegie. It's sitting on my bookshelf right next to me. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a fantastic book. Still true. I don't know how many years ago he wrote that. Over 50, I think. But yeah, it's been fantastic.
Oh, definitely a good read. And if anybody out there hasn't heard that book, I mean, you can download the audiobook. That's what I did. I downloaded the audiobook because, I mean, the way I see it is people who are listening to the podcast, they love listening to audio already. Mm-hmm. If they're listening to the show, go download the audiobook and turn your car into a library.
Yeah, that's great. So is that what you do? Like when you travel around, do you have a tendency of listening to books or podcasts?
Okay. I rarely listen to music anymore. I have an Audible account, so I probably got 8 or 10 books on that account, and I've started reading now. I have a whole shelf over here full of business books and that kind of stuff. So
wonderful. So out of all the books that you've read, what would you say is your favorite or most gifted book?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Goodness. The one I recommend most is probably that one, the How to Win Friends and Influence People, because that I feel like it kind of got me started with reading. But recently I've started reading a bunch of selling books.
Okay.
So I've realized that I'm not the best salesman, whether it's to make money or just to sell people on the idea of something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. So if I'm trying to tell people on a podcast, I'm trying to sell them on the idea of listening to my podcast. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading a lot of books like that, and I just finished one by Grant Cardone called Sell or Be Sold. And I would recommend that to anybody, not just people looking to be salesmen, because like I said, it's not about making money necessarily with the sale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the goal is to make money, but you sell people on stuff every day, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a place to eat or anything like that. So I would definitely recommend Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone.
Mm-hmm. So what is it about selling that you believe that you are not good at? Or what is it that you recognize in yourself that you're just not quite getting there?
I think for me, it's the communication side of things. And I realized this about the time when I started reading the How to Win Friends and Influence People. Mm-hmm. I was in college and I spent 4 years going to learning graphic design. And in graphic design, they teach you the program I was in anyways. It's kind of like they teach you Photoshop. They teach you Illustrator. They teach you how to build websites and all this kind of stuff. But they don't teach you that the connections that you make is what really makes you successful. It's not knowing how to use Photoshop. Mm-hmm. You have to get out from behind the computer and talk with people and get to know people and invest in people in order to be successful. So I spent 4 years behind a computer not doing that. So whenever I got into my job and my business and got out into the real world, I didn't have the skill of communicating.
Okay.
Because I spent 4 years avoiding it. So for me, it's just being communicative and talking with people and being transparent.
Okay. Are there certain exercises you do or things that you have done to make that process easier? Because I'm sure going from like zero to suddenly like really focusing on communication and getting yourself out there has to be nerve-wracking in some kind of way.
Oh, completely. What I did whenever I realized that, because I'm a huge fan of being self-aware.
Okay.
Whenever I'm realizing I'm doing something, I try to make it work for the best. Mm-hmm. So for me, what I did when I realized that I was afraid of getting out there and talking to people is I joined the Chamber of Commerce. I joined a couple meetup groups. I started meeting people and I dove into that fear. I hate going to networking events because I hate trying to find somebody new to talk to. Like, I don't know this person over here in the corner, but I'm going to force myself to go talk to them because I know if I don't, then I'll never be a better communicator. Mm-hmm. So I forced myself to realize that and get over it.
Okay. Are there certain things that you do when you first meet somebody that makes it, I'm going to say, easier on yourself? Or do you just go up to them and you know, just start talking? Is there like a setup that you do?
I just recently heard something. I'm part of Podcasters Paradise with John and Kate, and they did a webinar. And the guy that they had on, he was talking about a way to – have a conversation with people, and he called it form. And let's see if I can get this right. It was family, occupation, recreation, motivation. So when you're talking to people, start with their family. So, you know, hey, how are you doing? Does your family live in town? Mm-hmm. You know, and it kind of gets the ball rolling. It's like, okay, well, that's cool. What's your gig here? What brings you to this city? Why are you here? Leads on to occupation. And then it goes into recreation, what they do for fun, what really, you know, what do they do to relax? And then it kind of leads into the motivation. What is the motivation for doing what they do every day? Mm-hmm. And by the end of that, you've kind of developed a rapport with the person where you can kind of just build off of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to use that form method now.
I really like that idea. That's a nice structure. And it's so much better than, because when I go to networking events and like somebody just shoves their business card in my face and is like, hey, what do you do? And you're like, it's when you do that kind of transactional type of thing, it feels like they are just trying to fish information from you to figure out if they can then sell you something or get you to invest in whatever service they have. That setup makes it more, I don't know, personable, which oh, yeah. like it's easier that way.
I had somebody come up to me in a networking event recently and just literally walked up to the table. There's four or five of us sitting there talking, walked over to the table and put their business card in front of everybody and walked away. That was their form of communication. I was like, hi. And I held up her business card and read her name. Like, she didn't even say her name. So I went and threw her business card away. I was like, if you don't have time to say hello to me, why would I want to spend time trying to buy anything from you?
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a relationship type of procedure. And it's, yeah, just having somebody shove that in your face, it's not fun.
Yeah, and another one of the questions along with the form method that the guy is from what is it, Solo Hour? I forgot who it was on the podcast with Kate Erickson. But he was talking about the question that he asks, and not sure if I'm really going to employ this one in my podcast, but it's definitely interesting. He asks people what their childhood smells like.
Oh.
So what would your childhood smell like?
That's very interesting. What would my childhood smell like? Man, now you put me on the spot. My childhood smells like a goat. And I'm saying that because right now all I can picture is, so growing up, I grew up in rural Indiana, and next door to my parents' house was my grandparents, my Russian grandparents, and they had a little mini farm. And I used to go over all the time, and because they would babysit my brother and I when my parents would work. So I would go over there, and I would go with my grandfather around on his little farm. And he had a lot of goats. And that's all they said. Like, when I picture it right now, it's like goats and then lavender. So there you go, goats and lavender, because my grandmother loved lavender, and she had, like, just rows and rows of it around their property. So my childhood smells like goats and lavender.
That gave me an insight into your childhood and into your life. See, now I know more about your family and where you grew up and how you picture your childhood. So, I mean, it kind of gives you a talking point.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to use that one. It's like, it sounds like the worst cologne ever.
Goat lavender.
Goat lavender. Well, you know.
Don't wear that on a first date.
Definitely. So in this idea of you networking and kind of overcoming your fear, do you have a methodology that you use when looking at fear and things that you're afraid of, or is it just, you know, jump in, or how do you approach that?
I heard a quote by a guy who was actually on my podcast a while back, but I heard it from him because he was kind of like the business mentor to the guy that I found, Michael Gebbins. His name's Chris Simmons, and he used to say that success is on the other side of what you're afraid of. So it kind of, that point, it's like, I'm afraid of talking with people. I'm afraid of communicating and networking. So that's what I'm going to do if I want to find success. And it's kind of, it's getting out of my comfort zone, but it's also expanding my comfort zone.
Okay.
So if I go to a networking event and talk to somebody when I don't want to talk to somebody because I don't know them, then the next time I go, I might not be as afraid to talk to them. I've expanded that comfort zone a bit. So I just kind of, whenever I notice that I'm afraid of something, I kind of go out there and do it. Like, I realized recently that I'm afraid of public speaking. Okay. So I went and I spoke at a thing for DJs to show them how to use video in their marketing. And I did a whole presentation there. And then I started a podcast. So getting over that fear of public speaking.
Sure. Have you heard of or have looked into Toastmasters?
I have, because I have a friend, Donald Kelly, who is a part of Toastmasters. He's been posting a lot about it recently. Mm-hmm. So I've been looking into joining one here in my area, but so far the only one that they have available, or the one that best fits me, meets on Thursdays and Saturdays. And over the course of the next 2 months, the times they're meeting conflicts with dates that I have stuff going on.
Oh, sure.
Like, because I'm a wedding videographer, so almost every weekend I'm done. So there's all the Saturdays right there.
Right.
So there's stuff like that. I am looking at joining it, though, because of that reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure. So I guess, so I'm curious, then in your process of the videographer, when was it you decided to launch the podcast? I know you mentioned it because you wanted to get kind of work on your fear of speaking, but when was that moment when you decided, I'm also going to then do this podcast to help other people in the situation that I am working to get out of?
I'll let you in on a little part of me. The podcast was an idea.
Okay.
Back when I first started listening to Entrepreneur on Fire with John Lee Dumas, mm-hmm. I was like, this is really cool. I love being able to drive and list and learn stuff because of all the great guests he was having. And at the time, it's when I was working at that church when I had first graduated, probably about 3 years ago now. And I was driving an hour and 10 minutes one way to get to work to make around $25,000 a year. So I wasn't making enough money to have my own apartment beside where I was working. So I was having to live with my parents mm-hmm. and commute to work every day. So I was like, you know, what if I started a podcast interviewing a bunch of successful people and learning what makes them successful in the creative industry. So like I said, photographers and videographers. Mm-hmm. And that way I could eventually make enough money to have an apartment and not have to live in my parents' house anymore. And I could work for myself and not have an hour and 10 minute long drive anymore. So I went to start it and it didn't happen for like a year. Like I even joined Podcasters Paradise when I could barely afford it mm-hmm. at the time. And I went for like a year and realized that it wasn't happening and went on the Podcasters Paradise cruise last November, 2015. And like I said, I was the videographer on the cruise. So I was shooting the cruise, mm-hmm. making a highlight for it and showing it on the boat. But being around all of those podcasters and just honestly seeing how great of people they were and getting to hang out with them, it's like, you know, I want to do this, one, because it's going to help me learn from successful people, but two, because the people in the community, the other people who are doing this, are just genuinely awesome people. Mm-hmm. So that kind of really got me kickstarted again. And that December following that is when I started looking at the rebranding it and, you know, doing the logo, the website, finding out how the form, the style of podcast I wanted to do. So it really started then whenever I met a bunch of podcasters and realized that their life was better because they're helping people.
Okay. That's wonderful. How did you become the official videographer on the Podcasters Paradise Cruise?
All right. I'll try to keep this story short. I realize I'm kind of rambling at some points.
No, this is fantastic.
I started listening to John Lee Dumas, fell in love with his show and the lifestyle he was building because of that. So I went and he was doing a thing with David Siteman Garland. If you've ever heard of him, he does create awesome online courses. And John Lee Dumas was kind of like the affiliate for one of the webinars he was doing. So John was just bringing in the people and then David would go through the webinar and then pitch his course. So I knew that, but my goal, I knew that I wanted to shoot a video for John Lee Dumas. I was like, I'm going to get on this guy's radar and, you know, no matter what it takes, I'm going to do it. So I went to the webinar and I was like, okay, I mean, it's great information to have. It really was. I mean, David knows what he's talking about. But at the end of the webinar, he obviously started the sales pitch, which was fine. I expected that. But then John spoke up and he's like, hey, for the first 10 people that buy this webinar course, I'm going to give you 10 minutes to talk with me on Skype. I was the first, like when he said that, I was already on the page signing up and I spent $1,300. Mm-hmm. I think it was $1,300 buying this course so I could talk to John Lee Dumas for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then between the time I bought the course and the time I actually had the chat with John, I went and built a separate page on the back end of my website that was just for John.
Okay.
And I built that and I bought some coupons for some Audible books. So him and Kate, I gave him some and I gave his girlfriend Kate some because they kind of both run Entrepreneur on Fire. Mm-hmm. And during our chat, you know, he said we could ask three questions. So I asked him my three questions. We talked for a little bit and about right at the 10 minute mark. I was like, hey, you know, I want to shoot a video for you. And I know this is kind of like on the last minute. You don't really have time to process it. So what I've done is I built a page on my website. You can go to it and it gives you some statistics of why I think you should do video. And then it gives you some statistics of why I'm the perfect person to make the video for you. Mm-hmm. And on the website, I had videos that I had shot specifically for John, like me talking to John. And at the bottom of the page, I had the free coupons. And I was like, hey, John, if you don't want me to shoot you a video, that's completely all right. Just go to the page because there's some free gift cards on there for some audiobooks. So I figured at the least I was going to get him on that page. Mm-hmm. So I spent $1,300 to talk to John, then another $150 getting him on the page. And then he said, sure. So, I mean, he said, heck yes, he emailed me back. So, I went to Podcast Movement. So, I'm trying to wrap it up, trying to keep it short here.
No, this is great.
I went to Podcast Movement 2015 to shoot a video of their meetup that they were having, that John and Kate were having for Entrepreneur on Fire. Mm-hmm. And I shot the video. I shot some extra B-roll around Podcast Movement as well. But my main goal for that was to create a great video for John. And we do for conferences what's called an on-site sizzle. That's what we deemed it anyways. And it's where we shoot the video of the conference during the conference. We edit it, and then we are able to show it on the last day of the conference.
Okay.
So we shot the video for John. We shot all weekend. And then on Sunday, he was the keynote speaker. So he had a video to put in the middle of his keynote talk from 2 days before and the day before, showing all the different stuff they had done while at the conference.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they loved it. And about a month after Podcast Movement was over, they were planning a cruise with the hosts of Podcast Movement. And we went. They invited us to go on the cruise with them and shoot that because of the same day edit, the on-site sizzle that we had produced for them at the conference. And that just kind of snowballed. And this year we were at Podcast Movement 2016, and we were the official videographers creating all their highlights for them. Mm-hmm. So it kind of snowballed from that point where I knew that I wanted to shoot a video for John and was willing to drop $4,000 into making that happen. Because to go to Texas, I didn't even charge him to fly us over there. Like, I paid for the plane tickets, I paid for the hotel rooms, for the food. It was literally probably about $3,000 or $4,000 in order for me to just get in front of John and shoot a video for him. Mm-hmm. So,
wow, that is an amazing story, because it demonstrates so many things of just like, of, you know, you had this goal in mind, you put your mind to it, and you did the extra work. It's I've heard of something kind of like that. It's called the briefcase close.
Okay.
In a sales term, basically it's like just what you did. When you sit down in front of somebody, rather than telling them what you're going to do, you show it to them. So just like what you did, you're like, listen, I created this page, go to it. This explains to you why you need to hire me, and here's some examples. It's brilliant. And then you gave them some free stuff to make it worthwhile, but that's like job well done, sir. That demonstrates like how much you want it, and how it's a great lesson as how to meet somebody who is really busy and who's somebody you want to work with, because you did the research to figure out what he needed and then made it happen, as opposed to like bug him and like email him and say, hey, can I do this for you? You took the extra effort, which is amazing.
Oh yeah. And I'm in the belief that if there's anybody out there that I want to do work for, I can get in touch with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to get in touch with John, who for me at the time was an unreachable personality in podcasting. Like, you didn't just get in front of John and talk with him and, you know, go hang out with him in Texas and on a cruise ship. That's not something you just did.
Yeah.
But because I was able to do that, I'm under the impression now it's like, if I want to hang out with somebody, I know how to do it now. Yeah. If I want to work with somebody, I know how to do it.
So. That's great. So you're clearly a busy guy. Do you have any apps or, you know, online website services that you use that make your life easier, or some daily rituals that you do in the beginning, you know, middle of your day or end of your day that just streamline things for you?
As far as apps go, I just discovered this amazing one that I'm sure nobody on the pod listening to the podcast has ever heard of. It's called Canva.
Actually, I don't know that one.
You don't know that one?
No.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited right now because I get to tell you, I get to show you something new and great.
Yeah, please tell me about
this. It's a designing website. Okay. So I have an account with it, and you can use it for free, but I went to school for graphic design, so everything that they do on this website I can do with Photoshop or Illustrator, but it simplifies it. And because I'm running a video production business and a photography business and a podcast, I don't have time to throw graphic designer for all of those things in there.
Yeah.
So it has all these pre-made templates, and, you know, you can make Facebook posts and Instagram posts and all the stuff that are in the templates. You drag and drop your pictures in there, mm-hmm. and you can add text onto it and all this kind of stuff. And it really just makes designing really fast and simple. So, and you can do it with a free account, or you can pay for the subscription, which I like because it lets you get a little more organized.
Sure. How do you spell that? Is it Canva?
Yep, that's it. Canva.com.
Canva.com. Oh my God, this sounds fantastic, because I have been trying to figure out how to do more like infographics and more graphics, and I wasn't sure if I should hire someone to do
that. But I would definitely check out that site, because I want to say they even have a template for an infographic.
That's perfect.
So you can go in there, and they have free designs, and there's some stuff that you can pay like a dollar to use and that kind of stuff. But compared to the other stock sites out there where you can buy pictures, a dollar is really cheap.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Okay, great. So Canva, so any other, I mean, is that, like, are there any other ones you use that kind of make things easier for you, or is this the one?
I like that one, like I said, but the other one's not really an app, it's something I do every night.
Okay.
I've recently, like, I used to play video games all the time to a fault. Like, when in my early college years, it was like, go to class, play video games, and eat. There was no sleep in there. It was just those three things. And so when I started my business, I stopped playing, and I just looked at video games as this evil. Mm-hmm. And recently, I've started playing, but I only play at night right before I go to bed.
Okay.
So one, it forces me to get all my work done for the day because I want to play a video game at night. And two, whenever I go straight from work to bed, there's not this disconnect. So as I'm trying to go to sleep, I'm sitting there thinking about work. And I've even gone so far as to stop trying to sleep and pick the laptop back up and continue to work when I'm in the bed.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I've started playing video games for about an hour before I go to bed, and it completely detaches me from any work.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lay in the bed, I just go right to sleep because I don't have anything, any business stuff on my mind.
Yeah.
Doing something to detach, whether it's reading a book, playing a video game, watching a TV show, doing something to detach right before I go to bed is what I would advise because it helps you get away from work.
Yeah, no, that's great because I know that myself, if I don't do something like that, I do the same thing where suddenly my mind starts racing about an idea that I have or something else, someone I want to contact or talk to, and then I'll be up all night thinking about that as opposed to sleeping, and then the next day is just kind of
– You're just done. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So what would you say is the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice I've ever received. Again, it goes back. I think I'm going to narrow it down to one. I'm just going to give you one. If somebody wants the other one, they can contact me.
Okay.
My buddy, my mentor that I use, Michael Gevin, he has this thing that he always say. He actually just wrote a book, and it's an audiobook form. It's called Massive Imperfect Action.
Hmm.
So I've had to use this one. I use it to get in touch with John Lee Dumas. I wasn't ready to get in touch with him, but I did it. And it's about not only taking action, not only taking massive action, but taking massive imperfect action, knowing that whenever you launch something, it doesn't have to be exactly perfect. You just need to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
If I waited for the podcast to be perfect before I launched it, it still wouldn't be launched. Because it was nowhere near ready when I launched it. It's still not ready to be launched, but it's out there and it's helping people because I know that because I get emails from people every week saying that it's helping them.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take that massive imperfect action if you want to change your life.
Mm-hmm. So. I heard that. So I am a huge believer in that. And I've heard that phrase from somebody else who may have been quoting your mentor. Now that all makes sense now, like full circle of advice. Because it's a very specific phrase. Interesting. So if somebody would like to follow in your footsteps, and what advice would you give them?
If they're just starting out, I would say find a mentor and an intern under them.
Okay.
That way you can not only learn your style. I learned a lot of my style in video from my mentor, and he's actually videoing my wedding next year. That's how much I love his work. So I would find a mentor and an intern under them so you can learn their business style and their creative style.
Okay.
And it'll just take you so much further in life than having to sit there and Google an answer to every problem you run into. That just takes so long. So finding that person that you can go to and ask questions and who's just genuinely invested in seeing you succeed.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very, very good advice.
Yep.
So we've kind of reached the end of this. So what is the best way that somebody could get in touch with you if they wanted to continue this conversation or hear more about what you're working on?
If they want to continue the conversation, you can always look me up on Facebook. On Facebook, I'm Matt Peet. It's MATTPEET.
Okay.
My Facebook's always open whether I'm on it or not. So it may look like I'm online when I'm not. It's just always there because I'm always either running ads or checking on ads. So it just kind of stays pinned on the top of the page.
Okay.
But I would say to kind of keep up with me, go to findingcreativesuccess.com.
Okay.
And that's the podcast. I have Repeat Productions or repeatvideos.com. That's my video production business. And they can see some of my work there, but I'm not active on that site all the time.
Okay.
It's kind of there for different work to come in. So I post videos and my portfolio there, but really where I'm active and where I throw my two cents in is on the podcast website over at findingcreativesuccess.com.
Okay, great. And I will make sure I put links in the show notes to that so they can just click on it and go right to you.
Perfect.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Matt. This has been fantastic. I really appreciate your time.
I've had an awesome time talking with you today, Yuri.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Advance Your Art Podcast. If you truly enjoy this, please head over to iTunes and download additional interviews, as well as hit the subscribe button so that as new episodes come out, they will automatically go to your phone. Also, while you're there, please give us a 5-star rating, which helps our iTunes rankings. If you'd like to see more information, head on over to advanceyourart.com, where you can find information about each of the guests, as well as projects that I am working on. And always, if you're in the Boston area, please feel free to reach out. I can be found on Twitter at @YCataldo, or you can email me, Yuri@advanceyourart.com. Thank you so much, and have a great day.